Well, we are continuing in week 15 of our teaching in Colossians, which is a four-chapter book, which is pretty cool. We've been in this for 15 weeks. But I actually have a shorter message prepared tonight. Shorter in theory. If you're taking notes tonight, we're going into a message called Kingdom Prayer Culture. Kingdom Prayer Culture. Now, before I start talking, don't think that I'm going to give an entire scope of what Kingdom Prayer Culture is, because it's just too big to try to fit into a message, unless y'all want to stay here for 3 or 4 hours. Which some of y'all are like, yeah, some of y'all are like, I don't even want to stay the next 10 minutes, but that's okay. But what I am specifically talking about is what Paul was bringing to the people of Colossae and how we are to take on that kingdom prayer culture in this house and in our personal lives. And if you're joining us for the first time, or if you need to get caught up, Paul, the Apostle Paul in Scripture, is at this place where he is talking to the people of Colossae, however you want to say it, and he has never been there, but he's speaking to the church, and he says, church, there is one model that you need to behold, and that is Jesus. You behold Jesus, you get that model, and everything else will be right. Jesus is our model, and Jesus came to reveal the invisible God so that we would start revealing God to all people, because we have a model of how we should live. Anything short of that model is incorrect. Anything more than that model is incorrect. Jesus says, I've come to reveal the Lord so that you understand how this relates to your living, to your life. This whole series is about behold Jesus. That is our theology. If he did it, we can do it. If he walked in it, that's what we're walking in. Behold Jesus. And last week, in this idea of beholding Jesus, we talked about submission to the Lord. And I want to kind of pick up there before I get into the next part of the text tonight. Because last week we talked about submission. It comes from this Greek word, hupotasso. Everyone say hupotasso. And hupotasso literally translates to arrange yourself under or in subject to something. And the idea of hupotasso in the kingdom of God is that the Lord says, hey, church, I want you to arrange yourselves. I want you to arrange your lives in a certain way in submission to me according to the model that I've shown you, and that is Jesus. I want you to hupotasso. I want you to arrange yourself in me. I want relationships hupotassoed. I want your recreation activity, your mannerisms, church life, your occupation. I want every part of your life to be arranged in submission to the Lord. And when your life is arranged in submission to the Lord, everything is affected in a great way. Not just your personal life, but everywhere your footsteps. And that is the biggest mission of this house, to see people come alive in Christ, is we want people to come alive in what they are anointed to do, because when we come alive in what we are anointed to do, we will affect this region, this area, and everywhere we walk. I believe that the Lord wants us to affect our workplaces, our families, our friendships, not just in house churches and not just on Saturday nights. It's a dangerous thing when church culture is only seen in church. Church culture should be something that we live according to. Church is the people of God assembling. And guess what? Whenever you assemble, you in church. I had church at a Vietnamese restaurant on Thursday. Me and I met with a guy from another church, and he had some questions about deliverance and freedom and this whole thing that Relentless is kind of stepping into and getting known for. And we were talking about freedom in the Lord and deliverance ministry and demons being cast out and sickness being healed. And the people around us were just eating kind of. And we didn't have to have a acoustic guitar or a piano or a microphone with the preacher. We were having church right there. And the Lord says, that's what I want for everything. I want you to have church wherever you're going. I want you to pursue me in every environment. And this is what it says in Colossians 3, 24 through 25, and verse 1 of chapter 4. We read this last week. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And that master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what's wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you've done. God has no favorites. Colossians 4, verse 1. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you have a master in heaven. The reason I'm bringing this back up to kind of set this up for submission is because we need to understand that in the context of this day, slaves had no rights. They could not access anything, let alone inheritance. Nothing was going to be passed down to them no matter how hard they worked. They weren't going to get anything despite their position and finding favor with their masters. And the Lord says, even with that, I'm going to give you something if you serve me that no man can give you. I'm going to give you an inheritance that no one has the right to give except for me. So whether you're a master or whether you're a slave, he says, if you put yourselves under me, you arrange yourselves according to me, submit to me, I will give you an inheritance that is greater than any man can give you. Serve as you are serving me, and you are going to have a great inheritance. What is that inheritance? You get to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. Not just in the afterlife, but in the now life. You get to be a partaker in the kingdom of God now and all the days of your life and forever. I'm going to go on a tangent for a second that probably has very little to do with what I'm about to say, but you know, I find it funny when I look on Facebook and I see people honoring past loved ones and past loved ones that are saved. And they'll say, so-and-so would have been 85. 86, 72, and I thought to myself, what you mean would have been? They either alive or they not. It ain't no would have been 85, they are 85. They just 85 in a different place. I say that to say open your eyes, because if we believe in eternity, we have to believe in eternity. It's the land of the living. Like we're going to be a million one day. And I was talking to someone else this week, and we were talking about eternal life and all that kind of thing. And, you know, there's a question of why does there have to be eternal life? Because it takes eternity to get to know who he is. Will we get bored in heaven? No. Because we're always getting to know him more and more and more and more. And the Lord says, if you arrange your lives under me, you get to partake in that. You get to come into the house because you're a son and a daughter. You're a bride of the Son. He says, I've got an inheritance for you. I've got an inheritance for you of peace and love and strength and authority, and you get to be partakers of that. And the question we ended with last week was, are you in rank or are you in submission to the Lord? Are you hupotassoed in such a way that it creates an environment for face-to-face encounter with God? And that is my prayer for us and moving into our new campus and going into a new region. It's kind of cool because the Lord started us in Pooler, then we went to Leahy Island, then we went to Wilmington Island, then we went to Savannah, now we're in Pooler, and now we're going out there. Now, it's only 9 minutes, but it is a different zip code. I don't know how much more we can be a regional people. The Lord, it's like the Lord is saying, you have a purpose here, sow the seed, go. Sow the seed, go. I really feel this. And where we're about to go, the Lord's going to do something even greater than we've ever been a part of. Amen. But we have to be arranged in such a way where the environment of face-to-face encounter is created. I love what happened tonight. I haven't seen this much freedom in a while. It's like bones are coming together. Like the joints are coming together that supplies our need. Right? And there's an environment that the Lord wants to create in this house where when people walk into the sound of worship, there's an exponential increase in freedom and breakthrough. I want to share some vision. I have a vision that, you know, we're going into this new campus And essentially, it's one building. We've got a worship center, and we've got a house. And on Saturday nights, the house is going to be taken up with all of our kids. But all we've got is one building. Now, that worship center is bigger than this. But that foyer is about as small as that area between the glass and the wall. Which means we all going to be in the same room the whole night. And if you don't like people here, you're going to get to like them. You're going to get to know them. But this is what I keep seeing. As people come in, we see a mixture of things. We see fellowship. We see people praying up at the altar area. That when people come in, they're not coming in looking at people taking up seats waiting for a countdown. They're seeing a people seek the face of God before we start seeking the face of God. And there's going to be a freedom and a permission like never before to go after him without restraint. And in that, if there is a prayer culture that God has for us that we must partake of. Prayer is very important and very intentional. And tonight I want to give you some keys of what part of that prayer culture is. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Not just devote yourselves to prayer, but in a certain way, with an alert mind and a thankful heart. The first thing to note is that the Apostle Paul is not speaking from theory. He is talking from practice. He tells them to devote themselves to prayer because he's already devoted to prayer. An environment created for face-to-face encounter with the Lord is full of a people with the integrity that practice what they preach instead of just preaching from theory. We're actually praying instead of just telling people we should pray. We're actually reading the scripture instead of telling people to listen to the sermons. Like, we're actually worshiping the Lord before the band starts worshiping the Lord. Paul covered Colossians in prayer. And because he covered them in prayer, he had an authority to instruct them to do the same. The word here for devoted, it's a Greek word that translates built on a root. Meaning strong. In other words, Paul says, don't be wavering. Let prayer be rooted in you in such a way that everything you do or everything you produce in life comes from a submitted posture in prayer. Because when you get submitted in prayer, you get a lot more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit actually wants. When you have a life that is submitted in prayer, you will find that you will spend less time at the altar trying to fix a wrong and more time at the altar just wanting to seek the face. What if the altar call shifts from I need to I want to see? The model of Jesus that we need to behold, he has great strength and he was not wavering. We see an example of this, and this is exactly what Paul was doing, but I want to bring up a very familiar story to show you an example of what I'm talking about in Mark chapter 4. In verse 36 and 41, it says, they took Jesus in the boat, they started out, and leaving the crowds behind, although other boats were following, but soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and then he said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, there was a great calm, and then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other, even the wind and waves obey him. What I want to point out is that he spoke silence and peace to the waves because he came out of peace. He wasn't speaking peace to the waves in a panic like the disciples. He wasn't looking around at his environment, judging, oh my gosh, this is getting bad, so let me speak, peace be still. He was already practicing peace be still. He was asleep in the midst of a storm. No matter what his surroundings were, the surroundings or the environment did not affect his peace. He had peace with the Lord no matter how hard it got, no matter how terrifying it got. And because he had peace with the Lord, he was God, obviously, but peace with the Father, he was coming from a place of rest, he was able to minister to the environment from the place he was already in. He was in rest, so he spoke rest. He was so seated in perfect peace, coming from a life aligned with the Father, that he was ministering from the place he was already living. This is what Paul's doing. Coloss, pray. And the reason I can say this is because I'm already praying. You cannot speak peace to your troubles if you're already not in a place of peace. Because what you'll start to do is you'll start to yell peace to the storm out of fear rather than out of authority. You start to say peace be still because you're panicking. Not peace be still because you already have peace. In other words, the disciples in the boat should not have spoke peace because they were afraid of the storm. They should have spoke peace because they were already at peace. And what's in them affects the environment. So when we come together, it's not let's seek the Lord because we want to see him for the first time. It's let's seek the Lord because we're already naturally seeking the Lord. We come together for face-to-face encounter because we already live in face-to-face encounter. It's a shift from let me go to church to get to let me come to church with what I'm already in. Amen. Do you hear that? Yes. I'm going to come into the presence of God with the people of God, not to try to get in, but to come into an agreement with people with where I'm already going. So he says, pray. Let prayer be your culture. He says, people of Colossae, you can be effective in praying in ministry and over people, but you've got to be rooted in your prayer life, devoted, strong. He says, devote yourselves. Don't be wavering. Be strong in it. Do you pray before you make decisions? Do you pray before you react? And prayer doesn't have to be, let me get on my knees and put my hands together and close my eyes. Prayer can be a constant state of submission that you are simply always being aware of the voice of the Lord in everything you do. Prayer is a life of submission to where when something tries to shake you, you don't get shaken. Because you don't react to the shake. You react to the presence. Let me go further. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. The word for alert, thank you, man, translated wakeful, means don't pray from a place of a tired mind. Be alert and purposeful in what you're praying for. Have you ever been in a place where you're like really tired at night and you try to pray, but you fall asleep after 2 seconds? We got one person being honest. Have you ever been in a place where like you're at this place where you're really tired and your prayers are kind of like, Lord, and what you're doing is you feel like if you don't get that prayer out, then you haven't met your Christian duty for the day. Let me relieve you. If you need to rest, rest. Believe it or not, the Lord is with you in the rest, even if you didn't pray. Pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart. If you're praying to check a box, that's not much of a steady prayer. But if you're praying from a non-wavering place, you know what? You may not have finished the prayer or even started the prayer at night because you have been in a state of prayer all day long. So you move from let me do these things to be right to I live in righteous position. I live in a posture of righteousness, not because of what I do, not because of my works, but because the Lord purchased that right for me to be clothed in righteousness, to put on the new man. And new man, if I can't stay awake to pray, the Lord's okay for me to not stay awake. And I know that seems kind of maybe a little surface level, but I don't really think it is. Because especially in America, we have this idea of I've got these goals and I got to keep my routine and I got to pray at this time and pray at that time and pray at that time. You might as well go to the wall in the Middle East and pray at 3, 6, and 9. Oh, but we're free. You're not free in your prayer life if you're creating chains of a prayer life. I have to pray before I eat. I have to pray before I go to work. Rather, I'm in a constant state of prayer, and I get to talk with him whenever I can and whenever I want. Amen, amen means so be it, not I'm done. Oh. He says, be intentional. Pray with an alert mind and with thankful hearts. Prayer and worship should be intermingled, not separated. Because oftentimes we treat prayer as only a time of asking or only a time of pouring out our heart and troubles and letdowns. But attentive prayer is being attentive to a reality that you are actually talking to God and that you are in the throne room. So how dare we pray without praise if we understand we're in his presence? It says, be alert and thankful. Because when you're alert and you're worshiping, you will become more sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Because you become less preoccupied with prayers only for yourself and your needs. You become preoccupied with worship and conversation. And you might be giving God your need, but you're so sensitive to his voice in praise that he tells you the answer to your need without you needing to tell him your need anymore. But oftentimes what we do in our prayer life is we're not sensitive to his voice, so we just keep saying the same thing, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, help me, Lord, I don't know how, Lord, give me the answer. And we're so unattentive to his voice that we miss the answer. It's the exact same thing as the people of God who missed Jesus because they were still seeking a different form. They were awaiting the Messiah, but they missed the Messiah because they were not paying attention to the voice of the Lord. What was the voice of the Lord? A man in flesh named Jesus. Right? But we do that in our prayer life. We don't take times to pause. We don't take times to worship. I want to challenge you in your prayer life. Prayer is intermingled with worship. That vision of people coming into Relentless and seeing people pray doesn't, prayer does not have to be a solemn position of sitting down with your head bowed. That's a great thing to do. And it's got value. But don't limit style. Don't limit style. Prayer is an intentional posture of, Lord, here I am, I want to hear you. Lord, here I am, I want to praise you. Lord, here I am, I want to give you everything I've got. Lord, here I am, I've got needs. Lord, here I am. I've got wants. Lord, here I am. I need direction. But even in the midst of not understanding the direction, I praise you anyways. Be alert with thanksgiving. You'll start to see more clearly because you stop treating prayer like a piggy bank to God. You get reverent in your worship and you're walking with him. And the rhythm of your prayer life, it becomes interceding or praying on the behalf of others. It becomes seeing answers. It becomes worshiping him in the midst of it all. It's more than just a God, give me, give me, give me. It is a posture of presence. How many times do you pray a day? I can't count. I'm always praying. It's a state of being. Now look at verse 3. He says, now that you've got that, people of Colossae, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I am here in chains. I want you to notice that Paul did not say, people, can you pray for our needs because we're in prison? He says, pray that we get the opportunity to share the gospel. Pray that we get the opportunity to speak about the mystery. Pray that we get the opportunity. Don't pray for our release. Don't pray that we get good food in here. Pray that we get the opportunity to share the mysteries. To bring all men to repentance, for unity with the Lord. Paul is in prison. Paul is asking, pray that the message of God will go beyond the confinement of these walls. Hear this out. Do you realize that when Paul was writing these letters, he had no way of knowing and he had no goal of being in the Holy Book? He wasn't writing letters to get in the Bible. He was simply ministering. And you know what? The prayers were answered because we're reading these letters. So there are opportunities open up way outside the walls of those prisons. And Paul understood something. I don't need you to pray for me to get free because I already am. I want you to pray for the opportunity for me to share mystery. I want you to pray that I get the opportunity to share the gospel. How many times do you pray that you would get the opportunity to share the gospel of the kingdom of God wherever you are? But before you get on the job site, before you see the friend, before you see the family member, before you make the phone call, how many times do you say, Lord, I need the opportunity? How many times do you ask your church family, pray that I will get the opportunity? Are you getting ready for a job increase? Are you getting ready for a new open door? Are you getting into a relationship? When was the last time you said, people of God, pray that I get the opportunity to share the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Look at what happened in Acts 14:27. Upon arriving at Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Praying for doors to open. Not for your glory, but for the opportunity to spread the message. And when you become humble to that, he will take care of the doors that you need opened. Pray that opportunity doors open, and he'll take care of yours. Pray for doors to share the mystery. He'll take care of the doors of your finances. He'll take care of the doors of your relationships. He will take care of the answers that you need. Seek him to spread the gospel that we were commissioned to spread, and he will handle the rest. He'll give you the answers. It's called keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? You bring the gospel of the kingdom into every place you can. You get to bless people who talk bad about you behind their back. You get to pray for people who you don't like to talk to. You honor government parties that you don't agree with. You honor political leaders that disgust you. Because you're not praying for them to fall, you're praying for an opportunity that they would see the kingdom. Amen. And if all you can do is pray and honor well. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. Pray that I proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Paul says, church, I'm in prison. But there is a way while I'm in here that I am supposed to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. He's not just asking for a preaching opportunity. He's saying, help me proclaim this message clearly. In other words, pray for me that they don't see my complaint in this prison. I don't want them to hear my complaint. I don't want them to hear my groveling. I don't want them to hear my hunger. I want them to hear the mysteries of the kingdom. I want them to hear, I have no food, but I'm full. I want them to hear, I don't thirst for anything. I thirst for the Lord, the true living water. Well, how does that translate into 2026? Do people hear a thirst from you of anything else but him? I wish I had this. I wish this would change. I wish my house was this. I wish my career was that. I wish the people of the church were this. I wish. Are they hearing the message clearly, or have you muddied the waters? We got to stop muddying the waters. Well, I don't know about going to this new campus. Please pull your mud out of the water and get on board. He gave us something to steward. Amen. Well, I don't know about church on Saturdays at 6. I got things I got to do on Saturdays. Stop muddying the water. What else is there to do other than come together and worship the Lord? And this, I'm not getting into religion. I know people miss. I know life happens. Religion is saying you've got to come and have a perfect record. That is not what we're about. What it is about is when people say, Saturdays, isn't that inconvenient? You say, yeah. Yeah, but what are you missing out on? Nothing. Is the message clear? This is what Paul's praying for. He's like, pray for me that the message is as clear as it can be. Pray for me that I can bless the prison guards. I can't remember the characters in the story, forgive me. But when I think it was Paul and Silas, they were in the prison and they were praising and the prison walls shook. Am I getting the characters right? Yeah, Paul and Silas. And then the guards came to them fearing for their lives. But what did the guards actually get? Salvation. Paul's like, pray for me that they get that message. What, think about it. The guard saw a constant steadiness, or was it Peter? Was it Peter in the prison? It was a P. Paul and Silas. I'm a preacher. I don't even know the story. Paul. They were praising. The walls fell, and it wasn't just that the walls fell. The prison guards saw their constant unwavering the entire time, and then he saw the effect of their steady. Do people see the effect of our steady? I can't tell you how many times I've been asked in this past 4 weeks, oh, Stir failed, do you feel bad? And I always say, failed? Maybe you don't understand what we mean when we say apostolic church. And I've literally said this to a couple people over these past month. We are not apostolic as in the denomination called apostolic. We're apostolic in that the Lord tells us to start something, establish it, and give. We started Stir. It was established for 3 years, and now it's been given to a Christian woman who had a dream to start a coffee shop that she could not do unless she could get it turnkey. And she's a member of a church about 4 minutes from our new campus. So, no, it's not a failure. Yeah, but we sowed all this money. You're right, you sowed it for that moment. And you know what I'm wondering? I'm not wondering what's the next coffee shop. I'm wondering what's the next thing we're supposed to establish. And I believe one of the biggest things we're supposed to establish is a place known for face-to-face encounter. I still find it funny when pastors and leaders ask me how many songs y'all do on a Saturday. I love that laugh. And sometimes I'll say, well, I mean, sometimes three, but it's an hour. And then the response is mostly always the same. Gosh, an hour? People stay for that? And I'm thinking, is that what we have limited praise to? We won't pray past our inconvenience. And you've got people like Paul who are praying from prison. Pray for opportunities. Not pray for air conditioning. Pray for opportunities. Does the message of your life accurately portray the mystery of Christ? What is the mystery? I'm gonna take you back to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it's been revealed to God's people. God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Now, the mystery, what is the mystery? The glory of God is available for all to partake of. It's available to everyone, to the Jew, to the Gentile, to the homosexual, to the blasphemer, to the drug addict, to the witch. He says, it's available to all. They all get to choose. They all get to run in. The mystery is that it's available. And if the mystery is available to all, I have to ask you, when you have personal opinions about lifestyles, are you judging them off their lifestyle, or are you receiving them as potential people that get back in their redeemed identity just like you did? Do you actually minister to what they are meant to be, or do you muddy up the giving of living water based off of where their life is now? The mystery is available to all. You know what I find funny and interesting about this passage? It says, look at the very top again, if you don't mind, Angela, put that back up there, verse 26. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. It doesn't say the message was inaccessible. It was secret. In other words, it was always available because Jesus didn't become when he was born. He who was and is to come. Well, what does that mean? Why did the prophets hear the voice of God? Because they tapped into secrets. They tapped into the mystery. What's the mystery? We get to be with him. And it was so hard for us to grasp that the Lord's like, all right, let me show you the mystery in the form of a man. And we're still not getting it. We have theological arguments in the global church of whether or not God can do miracles today. That is a prime example of the mystery's been revealed, but it's almost as if it's still a secret. And Paul says, pray that those opportunities to reveal the obvious mystery that is no longer a secret, pray for the opportunities to share that mystery, to share that he's accessible, to share he's not far away. I saw something earlier, it was such a good reminder. You know what differentiates Christianity from every other religion? Every other religion tries to get to God, and Christianity, we know that God came to us. because he's not a goal. He's not a, I want to earn my way. He's a, I'm present. Will you share in it? I've restored your right to walk with me in the cool of the day. I've restored your right to walk with me every moment of your life. Verses 5 through 6, and I'm going to close. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of what? Every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. In other words, Paul says, don't spoil chances to share the mystery. Live wisely. Make the most of the opportunity. Let the conversations be gracious and attractive. Do your conversations cultivate an environment for the opportunities to open to share the gospel? And I want to be clear. I'm not just talking about the gospel of Jesus saves. I'm talking opportunities to share the gospel that Jesus saves, the gospel that you don't have to declare you're an alcoholic. I was talking with someone last week about Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a great program that helps a lot of people out, but they get one thing wrong. It's not, my name's Kyle, and I'm an alcoholic. That's an example, by the way. It's, I am redeemed. I am whole. I'm not labeled by these things. Do you pray for the opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord has redeemed you? Do you share the gospel of your generational curses are not more powerful than his blood? Do you share the gospel of there are principles in Scripture that will unlock doors in your life? Not just the gospel of Jesus saves, but the gospel of the kingdom government of God at work in every part of our lives. What is the kingdom? It is not exemplified in simply, I want to get to the kingdom when I die. The kingdom is a way of life, and it supersedes the world. Let me tell you, the Lord loves the earth and everything in it. What he doesn't love is the system that the earth is managed with, and that is the system of the world. So he says, I'm bringing about my kingdom in a people, a new government, a new way of life, a people that tell wind and waves to be still instead of being shaken by every toss of the wind. He says, I've got a new way of life. I've got a new order for you. I've got new, and I want you to pray for opportunities for us to share that every time we can. But this is controversial, but maybe we shouldn't create a religion of praying blessings over the food, but maybe our blessings over the food should be, Lord, open up a door to minister to this waiter or waitress. But we get so consumed in what we're about to eat that we don't get consumed in the bread we get to share. Oh, that just dropped in my spirit. Prayer culture. It's no longer a secret. But will a people actually start to share it? Let your prayer life be characterized by that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Isn't his word so, so good? Oh, it's been a good night. We've been praising, we've been praying. I've seen people on their face. I saw dancing. I saw flags. I saw people taking laps around the room. Now when I go to the Baptist church and they ask me how crazy y'all get, I can say, well, we run. It's just such an amazing opportunity to just be free in the Lord. And my prayer of you tonight is as we leave, that freedom carries. It carries to you. When you go home tonight, don't just pray, Lord, give me good sleep. Pray for opportunities. Lord, I pray for the opportunity to create an environment in my home for you to rest your head. Or Lord, I pray that in my dream state tonight, the only thing that gets in my mind is visions of you and no more nightmares. I feel like that's for someone. You close the door to nightmares and pray that the opportunities of the doors of heaven would open in your mind. I know this might be bold, but does that speak to anyone? Has anyone been having nightmares? Okay. Keep your hand, if it's okay, put your hands up. I want to pray over you three right now. Lord, I pray right now, and I thank you for their boldness to lift their hands. And right now, as a people of God, we come into agreement, no more nightmares. Can you say that with me? No more nightmares. And right now, Lord, we close the door to the enemy getting in the mind of their nightmares, no fear. And we ask, Lord, that the doors would open, that tonight they would have visions and dreams of answers they've been asking for, of purpose. Lord, thank you right now that they are delivered from nightmares all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the kingdom of God. A new way. The old way. The truth and the life. Lord, I pray over every person here as we leave tonight. We pray for doors of opportunity. Lord, as we pray, we just thank you for how awesome you are. Lord, let us be alert. Let us be thankful. And let us pray with intent to share the mysteries that are no longer a mystery. Thank you for making us right, Jesus, that we get to do that. Lord, thank you that as we leave this place, you're going with us and that we're always with you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a great night. If you want to stay behind and worship, you're welcome to do that.